Hey, it's Craig and Steven from the podcast Meet Me at the Table. Both Steven and I started this podcast to meet people where they are.
You're about to listen to this segment called Everyone Has a Story, where we hear from the many people that have been silenced from the church.
This segment is to continue to meet people where they are and give people the opportunity to speak about why they left the church.
We are here to listen and look forward to hearing your story. We'll see you there. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Everyone Has a Story. First, if you've not had a chance to listen to last week's episode with Aleka Smith, she had a great perspective on the whole church and the COVID situation. I am Steven DeWaynes. I'm here with my other host, Craig Seibert. I am honored to be able to introduce the next guest. It's actually my brother, Jeremy DeWaynes. Jeremy, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, my name is Jeremy DeWaynes. I'm a web developer, father of two nearly three-year-old twins, and husband to my awesome wife, Tiffany.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, I did not botch your name like I did the last guest.
I know. I really appreciate that. If you did, I'd be really concerned.
If I botched it, I spelt it right.
Yeah, too. I'm dropping off the podcast if you botch your name like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, other than your kids, other than your wife, what do you do for a living?
I'm a web developer.
That's awesome. What does that mean for us non-tech people?
It means I'm a tech people. Now I sit here at the computer all day and I write code and I make websites. Currently for the healthcare industry.
Awesome.
This is the kind of clients I've been dealing with.
The great American healthcare system.
Traditionalist, do you write from scratch or do you use compilers and software for it?
No, there's no, on the website, there's no compilers, which is a shame because those are a great excuse to go do something else for a while it sits to compile. So, no, it's all pretty instant.
Okay. This is, I have no clue what you're saying. So I'm just going to stop and go to
when Steven says us about technical, non-technical people, he meant really him. I'm actually a technical person. So I know HTML code and I can debug it a little bit. So Steven, I'll let you transition then.
Yeah. I know a little bit about bugs, but I don't know about the tech bugs. But Jeremy, can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the church? Now I know it for our listeners, for Craig to hear. Just tell us a little bit about your experience in your church, what denomination, kind of how involved you were when you, all about that.
Right. So I grew up in a Southern Baptist church with Stephen. despite it being a Southern Baptist church, it never really felt like a Southern Baptist church in that it felt a little bit more progressive than Southern Baptist usually is. Like to the point where it's like it's weird that it was Southern Baptist because it clashes with my perception of Southern Baptist. I attended a youth group throughout my teens. Went on retreats, missions trips, that sort of stuff. And then I ended up leaving in I was like 18 or so.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I hear you on the Southern Baptist. I attended a few of those in Florida, and it's a ride. It's definitely something.
It was definitely a Northern Southern Baptist church.
Oh, okay, which is where the little calmness comes down into that.
Yeah, I mean, you had your tambourine people, you had your hands in the air people, but it was mostly just people standing there staring blankly at the.
I think it felt more like. Kind of like a community church, honestly, a non-denominational church. It just had the Baptist twang to it.
Yeah, and they were part of the Southern Baptist Convention, but that was about it.
Yeah.
You know? Gotcha.
Weird.
Yeah.
So obviously we're on this podcast for a reason. We're on talking about everybody having a story. And again, mm-hmm. we really want to meet people at the table who have had different experiences, even than ours. And so something obviously made you leave the church at some point. And what was that ultimately made you want to just not come back to that church anymore or church in general, or just that church, kind of how you want to spin it?
Yeah. So like throughout my teens, I didn't really enjoy going to church, and I don't think that's too uncommon for teenagers. I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm done with this. You know, it's my weekend. I want to do something else. But, you know, that's just the way it was. But, you know, youth group was kind of like a social event for me. And that was really the only thing that kind of held me there. I held to my faith at that point. And it wasn't like I didn't believe. I didn't enjoy church. Like,
yeah,
I just really did not like going to church. So then, like, a little later in my teens, we switched churches to Cedarbrook, actually. Since I had, like, no connection to that church whatsoever, and I was out of youth group, it was really easy to just stop going. You know, once my parents let me, I was just like, I'm not going to go because I don't have a tie to this church. And I don't, you know, and I'm not, and I've never really been the kind of person that would just seek that out myself. So I didn't really look for another church closer to me or around me that was more my style. So I think at that point I was already kind of questioning my beliefs enough that it was an easy choice for me at the time. That was the catalyst, at least.
To add on that, Jeremy, had we not left our previous church, do you think you would have stayed longer?
I think it... Longer, yeah. Forever, no. Yeah. Like, I mean, that crossroad for me was going to come no matter what, knowing myself. But that definitely expedited it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
it's tough.
So it wasn't like a pinpoint of an event. It was more just the drift.
It was like the drift thing. Just coming into adulthood and start questioning things. And
yeah.
Just, do I like this? No. Why am I doing it? I don't know.
I think that leads us to the next question, which, you know, with the current events and the political party, the white nationalist type of view, and I'm maybe taking your answer for you, but all that stuff within there, what would it take for you to return to the church? Because I do know you. I know that a lot of the church's frustration is not just church driven. It's not just about church. It's making you not want to go back, but the greater picture of it, what is it really, what would it take for you to go in or back?
A lot, a whole lot. I mean, never say never, but
yeah,
never. I just, like, for me, it's, I don't like what the church has become, or maybe it has always been like that. And I was just too young and naive to see it. But just, I want nothing to do with it. The last, you know, 6 years, whatever, have just really driven that home. You know, I came to that conclusion before that, but it really drove it home for me. And it's just, in general, my beliefs aren't aligned with Christianity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any interest in, you know, like, Christian churches.
Yeah. What would be your, what would you say that you fall in line? Are agnostic, atheists, or don't believe, really, you know?
I know it's hard to pinpoint myself.
Yeah.
it's like I don't like the label of atheist because I feel like it carries a lot of negative weight.
It does, unfortunately,
especially among Christians.
Yeah, well, I think it does in general
it does, and I think some of that is deserved because I think there's a certain stereotype of just this angsty liberal college kid that's trying to shove their unbelief down people's throats, and I was totally that dude. So, like, I'm speaking from experience here. Like, you know, I carried that label with not really pride, but just, I wasn't ashamed of it or anything. And I grew up, I guess, and was just, I really don't want that label attached to me. So I generally lean toward agnostic. But that's an interesting
distinction for this one too. Sorry to interrupt, but that's an interesting distinction between those two, because I feel, and, you know, textbook, if you look at the textbook definition, you're looking at atheists as not believing in anything. Agnostic is, or the other way around, one of the two. Agnostic is doesn't believe in anything. Well, regardless, what I was going to tag on to that question is with the feelings that you have, Stephen's question was, would you return to the church? Have you had any other spiritual experiences where you might return to another, not, you know, quote unquote church, like some other Buddhism or Hinduism or something? Has anything ever reached out to you that's kind of the set?
Yeah. I mean, so, like, kind of in that era of, you know, angsty, annoying atheist kid, I did a lot of exploring into like other religions that I thought might click with me. I did actually look into Buddhism, and actually I like meditation. Like that's a good way to treat mental, you know, it's a good mental health tool. And that stuck with me, but that was about it. It just, nothing else about it really interested me. So that was a good, that was a positive takeaway for me. And I kind of dabbled here and there and it just, nothing really clicked with me. And then I mean, a few months ago, I came across, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the name backwards. Cause I'm still like a baby to this stuff. I mean, cause it's not the most, you know, easy name in the world. What did I send you, Stephen? Unitarian Universalist. There it is. Unitarian. I always get them mixed up. Is it? Yeah. See, I'm totally justified in that.
I've got to hear this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I struggle because it's like I said, I'm brand new to this. I'm not their mouthpiece and I should not in any way be whatsoever, but my take on it is, yeah, it's not a religion so much as it is a communal get together of people of across faiths. It's like a cross faith religion kind of thing.
Interesting.
You know, you get together, you explore different facets of different religions together or philosophy or just, I don't know, like interesting things. And you get together and you just kind of celebrate life. You celebrate life. You know, I mean, that's what it is to it. And that it clicked with me because I do miss the sense of a church, like the community and something to do every week, which is ironic because I hated it so much as a teenager. Like everything, I hated having to do this, go to church every single week. But I miss it now as an adult. And, you know, I see the benefit of having something like that for my kids when they're a little older and able to do that kind of thing. But the brick wall for me was that I'm not a Christian. I would be lying to myself and to others if I pretended I was just to get the benefits of going to a church.
Yeah.
And that's not me. I'm not too true to myself to do that. But the big appeal, they call it UU. So we're going to stick to calling it UU because that's way easier than.
So you don't have to remember which one comes first.
Exactly. Because I'd be looking at this screen trying to remember. So the big draw UU for me was that there was no set in stone belief system. There was no, okay, well, this is God and God is this and you believe this and these are our testaments. It was just a very loose philosophy of like social justice stuff and just be a good person. Don't be a jerk and, you know, treat others kindly. I mean, a lot of that overlap with Christianity because that's the origin of UU is it, it was a splinter of a splinter of a splinter.
Is it? Because I think that Christianity is more about hate nowadays.
Yeah, well,
it certainly feels like that at times. Yes.
But at least you're,
sects of it.
But at least you're kind of in something that's spiritual. That's kind of gives you a round feeling than it does a focus on one particular thing.
Yeah. And I think like the big thing with them is being spiritual and figuring out what spiritual means to you.
Yeah.
And that sounds super like hippie stonerish. And I gotta say, there are certainly those types of people in the congregation.
They are high on the spirit, whatever spirit they're on, but they're high.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, it appealed to me because I could stay true to myself and get that sense of community back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're politically involved in what I would consider a good way, a lot of social justice reform, supporting LGBT rights, things that I'm passionate about. And it's great that I can be a part of something else that's, you know, it aligns with my views,
which
I don't have to compromise pretending I'm something I'm not, you know?
Well, I think the community aspect in the church is huge. I was just talking to someone about the community. Growing up in a community, you're told, well, prime example, having a baby, they say, well, thank God you're part of this church community because then you can get financial help or you can get meals and whatnot. But now that I'm not in that community, I kind of look like, what happens to those people that were never in the church community? Those are the people that the church should be going to. And sure. I see, Jeremy, yeah, for you, you saw how good the community was. And I think that's something that the church, and again, when I say the church, it also includes me, should do better at is reaching out to the people, not maybe intertwined into the church, because it's our goal and it should be our mission to reach outward and build that community even greater. And again, I keep saying this on I feel like every episode, it's not about preaching. And I feel like that's what Christians think, is everything is about preaching. It's not about preaching. It's about loving and lending that love and showing God's outpouring love through that.
Connecting to other people.
Connecting to other people. And building a community. So it's interesting to hear you say that you kind of, in a way, missed that community, even though it was that community that kind of pushed you out. It's very interesting.
So I'm afraid to throw the last question out, because I have a feeling that this is going to be a good one.
If I could interject really quick before we get to that, just to build me up some cover here.
Sure.
I don't have a negative view of Christianity or Christians, or I have a negative view of the church as a construct, but not against the people that make up the church at all. I did at one point when I was young and angry and a teenager, early 20s adult. But I look back fondly at my time in church. I learned a lot. I made a lot of really great friendships, and it really forged who I am as a person. And, I appreciate that. Now, that being said, question number five.
Well, but then actually take that from that perspective, though. That question number five is if you could say one thing to the church, what would it be? And maybe get that idea in mind, that you're think of back there. What would you have said to the church at that point in time? What would that be one thing you would say to the church when you were there and kind of dealing with that?
I mean, it's hard for me to really say that, because it's not so much that the church was doing anything wrong at the time from my perspective. It was just my beliefs were misaligned with the beliefs of the church.
Yeah.
And not in any sort of the church is doing something wrong. It's just those were the facts. Like, it just, I didn't believe anymore. And I was already tired of church. So I was like, I'm out of here. It wasn't like the church did me wrong or anything at that time. I responded to cutting out that part of my life very negatively and handled it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And it's only with, age and maturity, I've realized, I didn't handle that so great.
Well, makes sense.
Back to that question though. What would you, what would you say?
Oh man.
It doesn't have to be bad either. It could be good too.
Let me set up some more foundation here to protect myself. It's not going to protect me here. Just to reiterate back to how frustrating the last 6 years have been for me. It's been really hard watching the church attach itself to Trump. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Pull off the mandate.
Do it.
It's been really hard for me, because I know what Christians believe. I know what Christians are supposed to be like. I know how they're supposed to behave. I know the things are supposed to uplift, the things are supposed to shun. And they threw it all in the toilet to embrace this orange man. And they freaking idolized him. Like, I mean, they sang more praise about him than I feel like they do about God. And it's repulsive to me. And it hurts, because I know they know better.
Yep.
And they're just throwing it away because it's politically convenient, or they get excited because he says, liberals. Like, it pisses me off.
Well, I think you used a really good word in there too. They idolized him. And I don't think idolization is restricted to just Christian belief. I think when you idolize something normally that's not doing so great, to put it lightly. When you put something like that as your focus and that is your idol, you really close, you get blinders, you really close off a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think that if you're what you're saying technically to the church at this point in time would be, you really let everyone down the last 6 years. That's a good phrase for me.
So, I mean, there's more than one thing I could say to the church, if you'll allow it.
Yeah.
And Steam's going to laugh, but pardon the language. Get your shit together. Stop playing victim. Get the hell out of politics, because it corrupts both ways. It corrupts the politics. It corrupts the church. It corrupts holy.
Yeah.
Hold your freaking leaders accountable. Hold each other accountable. And turn off the 24/7 cable news networks, because they're just rotting your damn brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just come on, guys. I know you know better. Do better.
So I knew you had something you had to say to the church. I got it. That's perfect.
I did. Yeah. I got like a seven list item list here. I'm like, I can't.
So sure. So maybe we should change it from, if you could say one thing, if you could just say a lot of things to the church,
if you want to say vent 6 years exactly. of pent up frustration.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the point of these segments is everyone does have a story. Whether it was, 15 plus years ago, or if it was even longer than that, or if it's even, me and Craig, where it's more, kind of here in the last couple years, months, we want to hear that. We want to hear from people because, a lot of times when you're hurt, it's the church tends to ignore it, or they give tickle of the ear responses of we're sorry, but there's no change. And without change, it's not really a sorry. So Jeremy, I want to thank you for joining us. Just thank you for giving us a couple minutes of your time to be able to talk to you. Obviously, you're my brother, so I love you. I'm sorry for all the years of gaslighting you and always providing explanations of, he doesn't believe the same thing I do, but I do love him. It should have never even been any of that before. That should be, I love him.
Let's hear an apology for the, hey, Jeremy, you want to pray?
Yeah.
At dinner? Can we get an apology for that, buddy?
I'll still do that to this day. That's not.
Hold on. I'm changing question five. I'm changing question five. Jeremy, is there anything you would like to say to Steven?
No, Steven's full credit. Like, he's been really helpful and supportive the last couple of years. I mean, we went through a phase where it was a lot of friction because of the difference in beliefs. But
yeah,
I mean, he's really been a really good source of just talking this stuff through, because a lot of it's just feelings I've never articulated. So
yeah,
and this has basically turned into another way of doing that as well.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. We are going to be doing these bi-weekly with hopefully random people or people that know us. So if you are someone listening to this or listen to the last one and you would like to talk to us, and maybe you don't feel comfortable joining on the podcast, we do have a way of leaving a voicemail on the Anchor FM app, or you can even just email us at meetmeatthetablepodcast@gmail.com or find us anywhere on social media and just talk to us. There's a couple people that have messaged us some of their hurt. And again, that's also a way of kind of discussing it. We can also share it on our post. So whatever way you feel comfortable, we want to meet you there. So thank you for joining us. Again, this is Jeremy Duanis. I am Steven Duanis and Craig Seibert. This is Meet Me at the Table Podcast.